Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Paul and Jordana.
If you're listening to us streaming, you can follow along on the Paul and Jordana Facebook page. We are live streaming our next guest, Gail Rosenblum from the Star Tribune. Hi, Gail.
Hey, I'm glad to be back. Oh, how are you?
We're glad you're here.
Yeah,
fantastic.
That weather report. Oy.
See, yeah, I'm just the messenger, Gail.
I'm sorry.
That doesn't make you happy?
I'm sorry.
It's kind of love it or hate it. There aren't too many people who are ambivalent. It's love it or hate it.
So yesterday, for the first time in my entire life, I used a snowblower.
Oh, I'd never go.
You still have all your fingers, everything good?
I never did it.
Yeah.
It was actually kind of fun, I have to say.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had to do it. So it was all right. I survived it.
We appreciate all the positivity.
Thank you.
You're a great writer.
Considering that forecast.
Considering what Paul just said.
We need Gail.
We need some good news. There are great people doing great things, and they don't always make the news. They should make the news.
Thank you.
Gail's column comes out every Saturday.
Every Saturday.
And Friday night, a lot of times, at StarTribune.com.
Yeah, we start posting things online on Fridays. That's right.
Some of the stories that jumped out at us, you have a great story about the TSA dogs.
Yes.
You got a behind-the-scenes look here.
Yes, so we got to meet them. So this is funny. I'm going to confess that we got this offer for me to find one of my reporters to go out to the Minneapolis-St. Paul International Airport and learn about the dogs, the TSA dogs.
Uh-huh.
And I said, oh, I know just the person for it. And I went out there myself.
So,
I'm like, I'm not giving
picking
that one
assignments.
Away.
Yeah.
I'm not giving that one away. So Brian Peterson, our marvelous photographer, and I went out last week and to learn about them, because when you're walking through security and spring break is coming up, so there'll be a lot of heavy traveling. We thought this was a good time to do it. But as you're walking through that security line, I don't know if you've had this experience where the TSA handler and a dog walks right past you,
yep,
and you're sort of wondering what the heck is going
right
on there.
Mm-hmm.
So
smelling.
we went and found out. They're smelling. They're sniffing.
Sniffing, yeah.
Sniffing for explosives.
Oh, explosives.
Is it
drugs? Not drugs.
Not drugs.
Not drugs. They're the TSA, and they are sniffing specifically for explosives. And so it's good to know.
And
when
they get a hit, when the dog gets
a hit,
does he like tackle the person right away?
No, it's so interesting. So it happened once while we were out there, and it's very subtle. So the rest of the people in line won't even notice.
Oh.
But someone is very, sort of quietly pulled away. And sometimes it's nothing, but the dogs are trained to alert their handlers that something's going on. The dogs don't know necessarily what it is, obviously, but they know something's up. And they've had incredible training down in San Antonio, Texas. I mean, it's such a phenomenal story. And the most amazing part of it is to see them with their handlers before they start working. They are like puppies. They're
just
happy and
so
adorable.
Cute.
And they're jumping and they're running around like like dogs would do.
Mm-hmm.
But the second they're in their position to work, they work. They're just
business-like, as you said.
Business-like dogs. They are
wow
amazing and adorable. And you can't pet them, which is so hard. What part of the story is what we can't do when we see them? You can't pet them. Definitely don't feed them. They're working.
So do they go home with the handlers?
Yeah, they own them.
Are they their pets?
So this is so sweet. We mentioned that. So the handlers actually own them, and they love them. And they, they own their dogs. They are very close. They raise them. They play with them. They are, they're actually their very own pets. So
very nice.
How many are there? Do you have any idea?
There are hundreds in the country. We saw six the morning we were there, but they only work about 30 minutes, and then they let them have a break because they're intensely working, and then they give them a little break. I think there's many more than that, but we saw the morning shift. They start at like 3:30 in the morning,
So
those dogs are ready to go home and take a nap by about noon, as are the handlers, I'm sure. And the handlers are great. They're very calm. Mm-hmm. They're very thoughtful. So it was fascinating to see it.
Wow.
Interesting. They get a false positive. Do you know what makes a false positive?
No, I don't. I guess they didn't want to tell me that. I don't. Yeah. I think they kind of want us to just, appreciate the hard work and all that's going on behind the scenes.
Very cool.
So So, yeah, I was just really had a good time.
Tell us about the story about the trusty typewriter making a comeback.
Yeah, Paul and I were just talking about this. So this
is so
sweet.
It made me chuckle, yeah.
So typewriters are making a huge comeback. It's sort of like, you know, long playing for the
LPs,
record,
vinyl,
LPs.
Vinyl coming
all
back.
All this is coming back. So the typewriter made me so happy to see because it made me remember the first time my father bought me a typewriter. I mean, I remember it. I must have been in high school or college. But apparently young people love that visceral experience of touching the keys, mm-hmm. of being forced to slow down, to be thoughtful about their prose, and also a lot of poets, young wannabe poets, are kind of they're falling in love with typewriters. So I did call a local guy at a shop right here in South Minneapolis who said he's saying the same thing. These
really?
20 and 30 year olds are coming into his shop, buying him out. And he said after this, you know, long stretch where he didn't know if he was going to stay in business, all of a sudden this is this resurgence of interest in the typewriter. And so it's very sweet. And I'm happy to hear it because I really feel like computers are a mixed bag. You know, they're a mixed bag. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of, you know, rushing and deleting and not thinking. But I think with a typewriter, you really have to think about what you're doing.
Do you have a typewriter again?
You know, I don't anymore. But I actually, this is so funny. I was in Cuba with my mother a few years ago, and we got to visit Ernest Hemingway's home. And I have this one picture. The only picture I kept was of you could look into his window and take a picture of his typewriter. Wow. So I have a picture in my office of Ernest Hemingway's typewriter. You know, I just like, because I look at it all the time, it just brings back this beautiful time that we really don't experience anymore.
My son, he built his computers. You know, that he for
oh
gaming.
My gosh.
For gaming.
Oh,
you know,
sure.
don't be too impressed.
No,
he built
I
it to play Fortnite.
I'm still impressed.
So, and he got, you know, you buy each part. And when he buys his keyboards, he has increasingly upgraded to ones that make the most noise.
Interesting.
Like he likes the feel. That's a new thing. Yeah, like the feel of when you push down, it makes it's harder to push down.
Absolutely.
Each key is separate like a typewriter and it makes noise like a typewriter. I'm like, why would you possibly want this? First of all, he's wearing a headset anyway when he's gaming, so it's not like he's getting the satisfaction. But I guess when he's doing other stuff on it, it's a more satisfying sound and feel.
A chunk. It does make a sound. And
not funny though. I mean,
it is
very
funny.
Tactile and visceral.
No, I love it. I think it's interesting.
I don't know if you got a chance to see Melissa McCarthy's movie. Can you ever forgive me? Wasn't that?
Oh, that's one of my favorite movies of the year.
Yeah,
she was
so depressing.
But it showed her in a different light.
Fabulous.
But that's sort of
that's right. Absolutely.
The other star, other than Melissa, was these typewriters.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. That's so interesting that you say that. Maybe that is part of what
I don't know.
This
why
resurgence
you part of the
is
resurgence.
About.
But
yeah. Academy Awards are Sunday night. We'll see. I'm kind of rooting for her, although I think she's not. I don't know. She hasn't been mentioned as the one who's going to win on Sunday
and
night. But I love her. Depressing. That's true.
Gail's column comes. I'm sorry. Did you want to go on?
No,
No, we don't want to be depressing.
We don't have
We're
to
talking
wrap
inspired.
Up yet.
Well, okay, let's
We're
go
inspired.
One more.
Let's have a few
We're
more
inspired.
Minutes of positivity.
Sure. Yes, that's right. Let's
you don't want to get
the
to the
dark.
Weather segment, do you?
I do not.
It's all downhill.
I do not. Yes.
We got to get away from the darkness.
Another story about University of Minnesota journalism interns.
Yes. Oh, yes. So we have in the spring, every spring, we bring these brilliant young journalists from the U over, and they work in our newsroom, and I am working right now with a couple of our young, just really bright stars. And this week, I have a story written by one of them, Imani. She wrote about an eye doctor who really mentored one of his young patients for years and years and then encouraged her to go to school and study, and now she works alongside him at his clinic. So it's a very sweet story, and so the story itself is wonderful, but also the fact that one of the young students at the U wrote it for me is also thrilling because I do teach over at the U on occasion, and I just love to see the future of journalism in such great hands. They are so diligent and excited about the field, and they want to be part of it. And so, you know, the older I get, the happier I am to see them coming in and to replace us.
And
as you know, it happens.
It
happens.
And optimistic about the state of journalism and flexible.
They are bullish, and I tell them that it is the story. It doesn't matter how we tell it. We still need to tell the story, whether it's online or in print or whatever, and they're learning how to tell the story. So thrilling for me.
Is the Star Tribune unusual, Gail, in having an inspired segment, an inspired column? Do other, you know, newspapers around the country have an inspired column?
So this is a very interesting question because people are starting to reach out to us. Mm-hmm. So Philadelphia is starting one. Washington Post has one. They are jumping kind of all over the country to do this, and I think everybody's just really ready. I think the time is right to have some good news thrown at us and to remind us that these stories also are true, and they're happening all the time, and we shouldn't be burying them. I think we need to hear them now probably more than ever. So it's my pleasure to be able to present them. And
awesome.
I find myself very happy at work, I got to say. I go into work, and I can't wait to see what I'm going to find.
Do you have a bubbly, effervescent personality?
Well, I really like.
You've got
this.
The right beat.
Yeah, I got the right beat. That is absolutely true. So
very cool.
Gail Rosenblum, always a pleasure. Again,
thank you for having me.
Read the Inspired column every Saturday
in
print. You can also see it online at StarTribune.com.
Thank you both. Have a good weekend. Safe weekend.
Thank
for those
you, Gail.
That want to pitch to you, where can they reach you?
Just Gail.Rosenblum@StarTribune.com.
Excellent.
And after last week, several people reached out to me. So people are listening to you. I love it.
It's working.
It's working. Thank
spreading
you.
Bringing the love.
I'm bringing Yes.
Awesome.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Gail.
Thanks
Keep
so
it going.
All right. See you next week.
Appreciate it. It's also 4:20. I understand that we have to do some weather after this.
But wait, there's more snow on the way. Yes. Buy one, get one free. Everything must go. Yeah. Hey, I got a 12-foot drift in my front yard. I'm thinking of putting it on Craigslist.
I don't know where they're putting all the snow from downtown. Because I walked across the street today, and a lot of it was removed. So it must be in somebody's giant parking lot at Costco somewhere.
I think your yard.
It might.
Your yard.
That
Wouldn't
way.
That be something if
it
you came home? And, like 50 feet of snow?
I'm never going to see
Where do they
grass
put the snow?
Again.
Yeah. No, you're going to see grass. Give it about 4 to 6 weeks.
All right.
And again, I'm worried about the speed at which we're going to actually melt this snow and the potential for flooding. More on that next. This update, this just in, it's still not snowing. It is not snowing.
Can we get Gail back? Let's get Gail back.
Get Gail back.
Yeah, really.
Do you want a positive spin, an inspired spin on the snow? Hey, snow lovers are inspired. Anybody who sells snowmobiles is feeling inspired.
Right, I like it. I like snowboarding, but you know, but there's plenty of snow. Wherever I like it, they can make it. And thank you, God, for making this, but we can be done now.
You know what's bizarre? We actually got a stern letter in our mailbox from our mail carrier who has not been able to reach our mailbox because there's so much snow on the street. So I don't even know how she
aren't
got.
Aren't you responsible for clearing it?
Eh.
That mailbox, that was an expensive mailbox that you got a lot of ribbing for.
It's all bills. It's bills and junk mail. There's nothing in there.
It's her job.
I actually want to see.
To get it to you.
I feel like I'm getting a break, a couple of days with no bills.
Mail. Can't get to the mailbox. I'm sorry, Paul.
It's good.
God help us. All right. 31.5 inches in the Twin Cities. That's a record for February. St. Cloud also set a record, 23.4. Rochester set a record, 21.8. The old record in Rochester was 20 inches. And Duluth, within 2 inches of a record, they're up to 31.5, the same as the Twin Cities. Their record is 33.9. We're not done yet. I don't think it's going to be anything like November of 1991, right after the Halloween Superstorm, 46.9 inches. That is the all-time record. The last time we had a 40-inch month was 1982. January of 82, we had 46.4. So I think we're going to get an inch or two tomorrow night. I think we're going to get another 2 to 4. Best guesstimate right now, Saturday night. If that storm tracks farther north and west, then we could be in that axis of heavy snow. It prints out a foot of snow for Winona, for far southeastern Minnesota, a big chunk of Wisconsin. If the storm wobbles farther north and west, then we could get pasted again in the Twin Cities. That would be Saturday evening, Saturday night into Sunday morning, first thing Sunday. What's weird, Jordana, most winters, the models overestimate the snow.
Mm-hmm.
If they all predict 10, you'll be lucky to get 3 or 4. This winter, they've been underestimating the snow. The models are predicting 4, 6, 8, and we wind up with 10 mm-hmm. or 12. So
once again, is it men who are doing these measurements?
The inches.
because oftentimes they don't measure properly.
Ask me about my pet peeves when it comes to predicting snow.
I know. You can't win. It's a thankless job, my friend.
Well, if you predict 3 to 6, people don't hear the 3.
They hear the 6.
Where's that 6 mm-hmm. inches you promised, Pa?
Mm-hmm. And then if you get the 3, they say, you are making it up. You're too alarmist. But then if you get 8, they're like, what the heck happened, Paul?
And again, we do, as a profession, tend to overpredict snow because mm-hmm. we're sensitive to that. If you predict flurries and you wake up to a foot of snow, people never let you live that down. The other thing, too, do you predict how much snow will fall at a true average for the Twin Cities? Or do you try to predict for the airport where the official measurement is being taken?
Mm-hmm.
So it becomes something of a game because you want the forecast to be right.
But nobody lives at the airport.
Nobody lives at the airport willingly.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, average snowfall is 53 inches for an entire winter. We're up around 49 inches, Jor. And, we could easily get 10 inches of snow in March. Last year, of course, we got thumped in April. I don't think that's going to happen again. The odds of that happening again are slim. But we are concerned about the flood threat. The National Weather Service comes out with a river flood update tomorrow. And there's one whole division of hydrologists, specialists, who look at the amount of snow, the amount of water that's in that snowpack, how deep the frost layer is, how much moisture is in the soil already, and then try to model how bad is the flooding going to be on the Minnesota, the Mississippi, and the Red River.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. It could be a tough spring for river flooding with all this snow that we have out there. But
well, thanks for that uplifting segment, Paul. Gee, I know why Gail left.
She ran.
I just want you bringing her down.
She kind of ran out of the studio.
She's like, weather, I got to go.
Oh, no. Hey,
I got to go.
I got some good news here. I got another minute. This is from KEYC in Mankato. Temperatures as cold as 30 below in southern Minnesota in late January, the polar vortex. Killed off a lot of the pests. It's true the cold doesn't penetrate deep into the soil, especially when there's an insulating blanket of snow, but soybean aphids.
Soybean aphids?
Yes.
Is that an animal or is that a bacteria?
No, they're pests. They're bugs.
Okay.
Yeah. And let's see, another species that might be affected by the cold is the emerald ash borer, which spends winter in ash trees. And indications are because of the cold, both aphids and borer numbers may be lower this planting season. The majority of these pests tend to skip the Minnesota winters altogether. Many of these pests come on strong south winds during the spring. So again, we mentioned this. There is a silver lining. 40 below air temperature, you kill off most of the beetles that chomp away at our trees up north, mm-hmm. the north woods. So some benefits to the fact that it did, in fact, get cold enough to kill off the beetles and some of these other pests as well.
Sorry, beetles. Not good news for them.
The beetles.
Not good news for them. Are you done? is there more?
Was it good for you?
Is there more?
I feel like I'm home. Yes, honey. Thank you.
We need to be done. The Israelis are sending a rocket to the moon. That and much more in Beyond the Headlines.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Yeah, this is pretty cool, Jordana. Israel's first mission to the moon takes off. You say this, Bereshit?
Oh, Bereshit, yeah.
Bereshit, mm-hmm. Bereshit, which mm-hmm. is Hebrew for Genesis.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool. Weighs 1,290 pounds, about the size of a dishwasher. And if the launch from Cape Canaveral, Florida, is successful, will make Israel the fourth nation on Earth to achieve a lunar spacecraft landing. And what's interesting to me, almost $100 million to make this happen, furnished almost entirely by private donors. If the launch is successful, Bereshit is due to arrive on the near side of the moon in April following a two-month, 4-million-mile journey. The USA, the former Soviet Union, China, the only three nations to date that have achieved controlled soft landings of spacecraft on the moon. And by the way, the U.S. Apollo program tallied six manned missions to the moon.
Very cool.
Good for Israel. That's very cool.
Very, very cool. Tortoise not seen in 110 years found in the Galapagos Islands. This is so cool. A living member of a species of tortoise not seen in over 100 years. And it was thought to be extinct. It was found in a remote part of the Galapagos, according to the AP. She is an adult female. Spotted Sunday by a joint expedition for the Galapagos National Park and a U.S.-based Galapagos Conservancy. Investigators think there may be more of the species on the island because of the tracks that they found. The team took the tortoise, you know, again, almost 110 years old, to a breeding center for giant tortoises in Santa Cruz, where it will stay in a specially designed pen. Like, shouldn't they just leave it there and let her do her thing? You know, she managed to survive, so there's got to be others.
Right.
So now that you've removed her, what if she's the last female? Like, why are you guys messing with it?
Leave her alone.
You know, I don't know. I don't know if I like that they took her.
There's some really weird town names.
Oh, yeah?
And I'll bet you our listeners can fill us in on some of the weirdest town names in Minnesota.
I'm sure they
can. There are a few. Recently, there was a survey, and this is somewhat subjective, but a company called Estately did a survey every state in the nation to try to come up with the weirdest town name in each state. You know what it is for Minnesota?
Hold on. Is it Embarrass?
No.
I don't know.
They think it's Little Canada, which
Why
I don't
is
think
that
is
the weirdest
that weird.
State? Why is no? That's dumb.
Well, we have nothing on Big Bottom, Washington. There's Big Bottom, Washington.
I like it.
There's a town in Oregon called Boring.
Yeah, I knew that.
Boring, Oregon. Mormon Bar, California.
Okay.
Catfish Paradise, Arizona. My favorite, Pie Town, New Mexico.
I like it.
Who wouldn't want to live in Pie Town?
I want to live in Pie Town.
Chugwater, Wyoming. Ding Dong, Texas. Frankenstein, Missouri. Hey, I'm from Frankenstein.
Like
Toadsuck, Arkansas.
Nice.
Scratch Ankle, Alabama. There's a town in South Carolina called Coward. Can you imagine?
Living there, right?
Yeah, I'm from Coward, South Carolina.
You got one?
Yeah, they totally whiffed on Minnesota, right?
Yeah, they did. Little Canada.
Yeah, that's not the answer is now then.
Oh,
now then.
Yeah.
That's the
You think that is
the
weirdest
name in Minnesota?
Again, it's subjective, and right. I bet you our listeners would beg to differ.
Also, Shakopee's weird, because somebody can mispronounce that.
Right, but I mean, now you're talking about, you know, other languages and, you know, Native American names.
Yeah, now then, you're right.
Yeah, that's a strange one.
One of our listeners begs to differ. Oh, come on now. We have Keister.
Yeah,
we have Keister, Minnesota, which was on the Preparation H commercials last year. Is that true?
I'm sure
it
is.
If the listener said it, it must be true.
It must be true. There's a town in Ohio, Dull, Ohio.
Good times.
Satan's Kingdom, Massachusetts.
Really?
That's a nasty one. Really? So Free Soil. Free Soil, Michigan.
I like it.
So anyway, I'm feeling better about my town name. Yeah.
Absolutely. Doctors have pulled 2 kilograms of stones, bottle caps, and coins from a man's stomach after he went to the hospital with stomach pain. You think? He's a 54-year-old. He went to the hospital and noticed he was bloated. Okay, he said he just had a bellyache. Well, clearly it was caused by what he was eating. Docs felt around for a problem in the area. They felt something that resembled small stones. Scans showed a massive buildup of objects that were occupying the patient's entire stomach. When questioned about his stomach mass, this is a South Korean patient, he admitted to swallowing coins and pebbles whenever he felt anxious, despite taking anti-anxiety drugs to calm him down. So he said, yep, I eat stones, I eat coins, I eat all sorts of stuff, bottle caps, when I feel nervous.
Are you kidding me?
Dude's got much bigger problems than a stomach ache, dude.
Whoa.
I want to up those meds.
Don't want to sit next to that guy in an airplane. All right, keep an eye on those fancy sneakers. Did you see this story? Good.
I saw the video.
God. Nike, Just Do It, says it's looking into possible design flaws after superstar Duke freshman Zion Williamson was injured when his shoe blew out. It disintegrated. He was injured during an 88-72 loss to North Carolina.
Looked like it could have been a bad knee injury, too.
And well, his injury is being diagnosed as a mild knee sprain. He sustained the injury when he turned in one direction, and one of his PG 2.5s, a custom brand of Nike shoe, modeled after Oklahoma City Thunder star Paul George, appeared to disintegrate. Nike issued a statement saying, "We are obviously concerned and want to wish Zion a speedy recovery. Please don't sue us. The quality and performance of our products are of utmost importance."
What happened there, man? Something went really wrong with that sneaker.
He played just 34 seconds in total before the incident. His well-wishers included Barack Obama, who was at the game and tweeted, "Zion Williamson seems like an outstanding young man as well as an outstanding basketball player, wishing him a speedy recovery." Yikes.
Truth.
All right.
A zoo has been condemned by animal rights campaigners who said it was cruel to charge visitors £15 to play tug of war with the lions and the tigers. Now, you've done this with your dog, Leo. You know, you get a rope toy or you get a rag and you play tug of war. It seems they seem to really like it.
Yes, they do.
I don't have a cat, but do cats like this game too?
I don't think not so much.
Well, that seems even more suspect now. More than 2,000 people have signed a petition calling on the Dartmoor Zoo, this is in the UK, to end the attraction pitting four people against a big cat. The human versus beast competition allows visitors as young as eight to pull on a rope running. Oh, it runs beneath the gate. Okay. To attempt a prize. An attempt to pry a slab of meat tied to the other end out of the jaws of the animal.
Ooh.
Okay, so the animals don't want to play this game. They are just forced to hold on to the meat because it's their lunch and play tug of war with these lunatics who sign up to human versus animal competition.
Really?
There's a lot of things wrong. A lot of points of failure in this one. I kind of want that lion to jump over and eat all those people. That's wrong in lots of ways. So, yes, up there is a petition. Yep, the PETA folks are out in force, but I'm going to side with them on this
one. Good grief.
Jeez, people are bored.
What the heck? Ariana Grande.
Yeah?
Say what you will. She has a lot to be thankful for. She is the first artist to occupy the number 1, 2, and 3 position simultaneously.
Wow, good for
on
her.
On the Billboard Hot 100 songs chart since the Beatles back in 64.
Good for her.
Again, her single, Seven Rings, Break Up With Your Girlfriend, I'm Bored, and Thank You, Next.
It's a good one.
You like it? You like her? Yeah, she's...
Yeah, I love Ariana Grande. Yeah, and my husband has a giant crush on her.
Yeah, she's cute. So do you have
and
to
talented.
Be... You have to be... It's not enough to be just an amazing singer. You have to be, like, model-like gorgeous now.
Well, look, I mean, I don't know that you could say that about a lot of the singers. We have
most
lots
of
large singers
but
now.
But most of them are...
She's just really cute and has a good look. But her voice for sure outweighs... She would be a talent because of her voice, Ariana Grande. She is extraordinary.
All right. Congrats, Ariana.
Do you ever wonder why zebras have stripes?
No. No, in fact, I have not.
It's actually
never
an age-old mystery. And scientists now believe they may have solved the mystery. They say zebras likely evolved to have stripes in order to avert attacks from biting flies. Okay? Study published in the Public Library of Science 1 scientific journal. I know you're a big fan. In an experiment, horses wore different patterned cloth coats. I'm sure the horses did not like it, but they were just coats draped over the horses. So don't worry, nothing crazy was going on like in that zoo. The horses wearing a striped pattern suffered far lower rates of flies landing on the coats than horses wearing a black and white coat, although there was no difference in the rate of attacks to the horses' naked heads. See? So it was all about the coat because the heads were uncovered. Researchers examined the behavior of horse flies near captive zebras and uniformly colored horses. They found that among the rates of the time that the flies spent circling the two species did not differ, but fewer flies landed on the zebras than the horses. So there you go. It was evolutionary to have them be bitten less by flies. Now you know.
God.
You don't think that's vaguely interesting?
It's yeah.
I'm going to start wearing black and white for the mosquitoes around town in the summer. I'm only going to wear stripes now.
So it's evolutionary.
It is evolutionary so they don't
black
get bitten by fly attacks.
That makes some sense.
Very cool.
All right. Oh, by the way, we have more towns. There's a hell, Minnesota.
Oh, yeah.
I did not know there was a hell.
Okay.
So when the guy at the gas station says, you want to go to hell? Yeah, okay. Well, you go down here 3 miles and make a laugh.
That's what's going to happen. I got one more for you, fertile, unless you want to do more names.
Fertile, mm-hmm. Climax, mm-hmm. and Nimrod.
Climax, that's right.
Climax, Minnesota. Who would not want to live in Climax?
All right.
New York City was re-energized on Wednesday because a princess was in town. Meghan Markle came to town. Oh. For her baby shower at the Mark Hotel. Yes. I heard Gayle King talking about this morning on the CBS Morning Show. She was invited. Gayle King was invited to the affair. She said she's not supposed to talk about it and they weren't supposed to take any pictures, all of that stuff. Amal Clooney, Serena Williams was there. Yet it was an intimate gathering of just 15 or so close friends, including Gayle King. And Gayle said that she couldn't even tell you what she got, what the gifts were, because Meghan didn't open them, which is really unusual at a baby shower. That's like kind of why you go. It's one of the big things when
to see the reaction.
Baby, yeah. You know, you see all you ooh and ah about all the cute things and what's going to be for the nursery and all that good stuff.
Just an excuse to drink wine,
yes.
Isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I don't know about that. Yeah, certainly not for the mom. But she said she is not going to open the gifts because she wanted to wait to be back with Prince Harry, her husband, so he could see all of the gifts and they could react to them together.
Wow.
But they did do a flower arranging. They had like a little flower arranging activity, and then all of the flowers were donated to either old age homes or homeless
shelters. Watch her on Suits?
No, I didn't. I didn't know her before she became Miss the Princess. Did you watch her?
A lot of guys had crushes on
Meghan
Markle. She's
a lovely young woman. Yes, certainly. Whew.
Okay, we should wrap it up so we can get to Maxie. Thank you, Jordana. It is now... What time is it? 4:46, Wicks and Jewelers time. If you're looking to sell your Rolex or other high-end timepiece, turn to the trusted experts at Wicks and Jewelers, just off 35W in Bloomington. How many days till football?
I don't know.
You probably don't know that off the top of your head.
Not counting. The number one season in Minnesota is the Vikings football season.
Yep.
The number two is the Vikings offseason, if that makes sense.
It makes a lot of sense.
In terms of interest level.
I believe that.
So is that
you were at a presser, right?
Yeah, they had a press conference. Now, this was not to reveal. We all knew who was going to be brought in. It's just that they finally got the gang together so that we could meet them, so to speak. So Gary Kubiak is the feature name in this. Now, he comes in. He's been the head coach in Houston and Denver, played in the NFL behind John Elway. He's already won a Super Bowl as a head coach. Had some health issues. Stayed in football but got out of coaching. Decided he wanted to get back into coaching. So they brought him into Minnesota. And you have your offensive coordinator and you have your head coach in the pyramid of things. He fits somewhere in between, assistant head coach in charge of offense, which kind of speaks to the frivolity of the NFL. If they want to add somebody and give them a title and pay them a bunch of money, they just add them. So he's brought in because they've had so much trouble kind of functioning as an offense. They've had three different offensive coordinators since Mike Zimmer's been there. So he's brought in to settle this thing down, figure out what the focus should be. He's not going to call plays. Give him a direction, I guess. And I can't, after I left there today, I'll talk more about it tonight, your head's kind of spinning. They've got one guy that's brought in for the offensive line, and he's the run game coordinator. So you've got a run game coordinator. You've got an offensive coordinator. You've got an assistant head coach in charge of the offense, and then you've got a head coach that gets to make any decision he wants.
Who coordinates the coordinators?
That's what I'm saying, Paul. As I'm driving home, I'm thinking, or driving back to the studio, I'm thinking, how does this work again?
So
if it's a run play, we ask the run coordinator, but if it's, what if I want to pass? I don't know. I mean, and they're not the only ones with a system like this. But there are coaches that are assistant to coaches that they got quality control and they got this and they got, I mean, there's so many coaches in the NFL. I don't know how you could even divvy it all up.
This may be an indelicate question, but how do the Patriots do it?
You know,
should we be taking a few? I mean, look at the people who are winning. Borrow a few pages from the teams that are winning and then modify it for Minnesota. But it's not rocket science, or is it?
It's not, but it's been allowed to mushroom this way. And the Patriots made one brilliant move. They went and got Brent Bielema this last year. He was the one-time Wisconsin head coach.
Sure.
Probably as good a coach as there's been at Wisconsin. And he finally just got to a point there where he said, you know, I think what really got him when I hear the, you know, you read between the tea leaves and between the lines, is he didn't think that the student body was intelligent enough
to support football.
I'm sorry.
This
is your voice.
What? This is ridiculous.
Is that fake news?
Yeah.
It's completely fake news because he's leaving out the part where Brett quit and fled because he couldn't hack it anymore. And he goes and he fails miserably at Arkansas. We sort of left that little part out.
Yeah, that's true.
I do this because Dan Cook's an alum of Wisconsin. But anyway, yeah. So you're right, though, to your point. And Belichick, who's the head coach, runs the defense. So if he runs the defense, he's head coach. Mike Zimmer runs the defense for the Vikings. How many coaches do you then need? I don't know. I don't know what they all do.
Well, it's too many. Yeah. Let's talk Wolves. We could see maybe the return of Tyus Jones on Friday.
Yeah, you know, he's really missed the kind of a golden opportunity here, unfortunately, because he sprained his ankle at the same time that Jeff Teague and Derrick Rose, the other point guards, were going down. Then they brought up Jared Bayless. He got hurt, too. So Tyus could have had really extended minutes the last few weeks. Mm-hmm. But point is, he's healthy again. He had this ankle sprain against Philadelphia. Tomorrow, he should be able to play. So should Jeff Teague, who's a big key to this team, and Derrick Rose. They've had a long break here. So they go into this thing with New York and then Milwaukee pretty healthy. And Tyus is going to get minutes. They'll get a rotation back. And we'll find out what the Wolves got because they're going to have healthy bodies here going down the stretch, and we'll find out if they're good or not. Does that make sense? Now, last night, Tyus's brother got beat, plays for Duke, right? He's the star point guard for Duke. Did you guys see what happened there?
The shoe exploded. Yeah.
What is the deal? So that Nike's stock dropped today.
Isn't that something?
Well, it's...
Well, I mean, as everything gets fancier and we depend more and more on technology, and technology is great until it fails.
Well, what happened, Mike? Have you ever seen anything like that before?
I've seen shoes break, come off, things
you
like
have?
That. I'm not sure. You know, this was just because it was an injury, too.
Yeah.
You know, that's why we've slow-moed it so many times. Yeah. And, oh, yeah, he might be the best player in the country.
But don't you think the injury was caused by the shoe explosion?
Well, you know, you see, it's the other leg gets hurt, not the leg where the shoe exploded on. So I don't know if the shoe exploding caused him to do something. I don't know.
Right.
But
hot water. I heard Under Armour already reached out to him.
Well, I'm sure they did. Yeah.
What do these shoes do for basketball players? Dumb question. I mean, does it give them more bounce, more spring, more vertical height?
Well, in general, what you're doing with the high top is you're protecting yourself from sprained ankles. So you want a high top that protects you from turning your ankle. So just about everybody wears those.
Okay.
And then you want it to be comfortable enough that over the course of a practice, a game, you don't wear down as easy. So you want enough padding in there. It can't give you more spring or anything like that. It can just be really comfortable for you. That's what you want in your basketball.
So it's comfort.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
Let's talk about the Gopher women. Gopher women are in Maryland, play the Terps. Lindsay Whalen squaring off against her former coach. Is it Brenda Freese?
It was Brenda Oldfield when she was here. Now it's Brenda Freese. So she was here. She was only here for a year. She got them kind of turned in a direction. And then Pam Borton came in. They went to the Final Four, but that was all part of that same era. It's been many years now. It doesn't seem like that she was in town. And she kind of they went into Wisconsin when she was here, and they here we go again, and they won this big game against a really good Wisconsin team. And once that happened, the whole thing kind of turned. People started to take them seriously. They had a good record, and they finally beat Wisconsin. And then she was able to ride that wave for a long time, and then get a job at Maryland because of it. Lindsay Whalen was her point guard at the time, so the interesting part is they're going head-to-head tonight. Men's basketball team has a huge game with Michigan tonight, possibly defining.
Oh, yeah, my son's going.
Yeah.
My ex-husband, they're going. He's a Michigan grad.
Oh, he is.
University of Michigan.
So he's going to go to his Michigan sweatshirt.
He probably will, and my son will as well.
Okay.
Come on, Gophers.
Hate, huh?
Gotta get in.
Gotta
get into the dance, right?
I think tonight they win. I think they get into the dance.
That would be awesome.
Know, they've got a signature win. They won at Wisconsin. Earlier this year.
Oh, look at the time.
Oh, boy. Max.
We'll be back after the break.
I appreciate you guys.
Thanks,
Max. Love
Maxie.
You, Mike.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.